I want to thank all of those that prepared food and allowed us to come into their home. We really enjoyed it. And I discovered apple kuchen here in this city. What was the dear lady that made
Angela.
It? Angela. She wasn't able to make it this evening. Her husband's going through some kidney stones issues, but I talked to her. My wife said, get her recipes. So when I get home, I make the apple cooking, and I'll make a report back to the pastor on how it was. Amen? But thank you both so much for your coming out and being in the service, and I just thank God for you. Take your Bibles. Let's stand together one more time to Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth of ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great what? Mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing. That's amazing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly what? She was grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend unto her, and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and that the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, that is, the Jewish people, and to show it unto Esther, and to declare it to her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, and to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, and all the king's servants, and the people of the king's province, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called there, is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Then Esther bade him return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thrilled tonight for the good report on the faith promise. 2017. Oh God, I pray that you would bless and use these dear people to reach this world give this church great opportunity, not only abroad, but right here in town. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them a great harvest in these days. Meet with us tonight. Speak to us, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In the introduction of my message, I want to speak on the plan of God for Shushan the Palace. The plan of God for Shushan the Palace. Many of you are familiar with this story. Esther, of course, replaced Vashti, and she became the new queen of that kingdom. She was very comfortable, no doubt, and living in the lap of luxury, went from a peasant woman to becoming a very wealthy queen. I'm sure she had all of the luxuries that anyone would ever want. Kind of sounds like we Americans and Canadians, amen? We have that once. And I want you to write down, I would like you to write down there somewhere around chapter 4, write down the word Esther. Just write her name down and then put next to it the believer. The believer. The believer. Okay? Then write down the word Mordecai. Mordecai. You'll see him there. And then write down the word the Holy Spirit. I believe that Mordecai is a type of the Holy Spirit and Esther is a type of the believer. Okay? Then we have Haman. I believe Haman is a type of the devil. He's the wicked one in this passage. And then the Jews, whose lives are going to be extinguished, the Jews are, I call them, the lost. The lost. And as we go through this passage, I'd like you to get that thought in your mind. When we think of Esther, we think of ourselves. When we think of Mordecai, we think of the Spirit of God working to motivate the believer to do what the believer should do. Then we have Haman, the devil. I don't want to spend any time with him. Amen? And then, of course, the Jews is the world at large. The world, the people that God has called these missionaries to reach, but the people that God has called the Castlegar Baptist Church to reach. So how many understand that? We've got that down?
Amen.
We've identified who the main characters are in this message. Now, number one, I'm going to give you a total of 4 points. And I want you to write these points down because I want you to investigate this passage. I don't have time to really dig into it as deeply as I think you could if you would. Number one, we first of all see the confusion and the concern of Esther. The confusion, and I use the phrase, the confusion and the concern of the believer. And I want you to notice here in 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5, we understand that a decree has been made through Haman's wicked heart, influencing the king to exterminate all of the Jews. To literally wipe out the Jewish population of that day. And I want to tell you something. The world is going to hell. You believe that?
Yes.
And if you believe that the world's going to hell, then those characteristics that we see in the life of Mordecai and in the life of those that realize that they're nationality was going to be extinguished, they did some things. They mourned in verse 3. They fasted. They wept. They wailed. They got in sackcloth and ashes, realizing that we are going to be exterminated if God doesn't do something. We're going to be extinguished. That brings us to Esther's confusion. Did you notice that Mordecai got in sackcloth and ashes? Within the gate, the king's gate, there was not supposed to be any of that in the king's gate. But he went right in, sackcloth and ashes, mourning over the decree that's going to take place. And she said, what are you doing? What are you doing? She's confused over what's going on. And she sends him clothing. Can you imagine? Here, put these clothes on. I can see Hatak coming to him and saying, put these clothes on. I don't want you doing that. We don't need any of that stuff. The world, now get this. Many believers don't understand the compassion of believers. Sometimes believers, church members, don't understand the compassion of the pastor. Sometimes the people that we go to minister to on foreign countries, they don't understand the burden that's on our heart. We understand their destiny. We understand what's going to happen to those people if they die without Christ, and it breaks our hearts. But many believers' hearts are never broken for the lost. What are you getting all upset about? Don't worry about it. That's God's problem. And even in theology, people have excused themselves from being involved in the Great Commission. Well, God will save whosoever he will. I have nothing to do with anybody getting saved. God's the one that's got to do it. That's ignorance. But it runs deep in many believers' lives. And here's a confused queen who realizes that there's now a decree against her own people. And she goes from being confused to being what? Concerned. I want you to notice there in verse 5. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, and of course they went to Mordecai, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened in verse 7 and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king of the treasury for the Jews to be destroyed. And all of a sudden, she realizes we are in a mess. Her confusion turned into concern. And I think this is where revival takes place in the life of a church. When we get to the place where we're no longer confused about God's working in this world and the things that God wants to do in this world. And when we get out of that confusion and understand, wow, God has placed us to be the ones to go with the gospel and preach the gospel to every creature and tell them what great things can happen if they'll repent of their sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to get out of the confusion state. Say, my responsibility is that I be concerned for the lost, whether it be across the street or around the world. If every church could go from confusion to concern, are you ready for this? We could reach the world. I think the church of Jesus Christ is a sleeping giant. If it ever woke up, we could reach the world. Because God does not have a better plan. That's the only plan.
Amen.
We let sit back and say, well, let the paid staff do the work. Let the preacher do it. Let the Sunday school teacher do it. Let the deacons do it. We're going to miss our privilege and opportunity to reach the world. Number two. Not only do we see the confusion and the concern of Esther, but then secondly, we see the charge and the challenge of Mordecai. Mordecai levels a charge to Esther. Look with me in verse 7. Mordecai told him all the things that had happened unto him and that the sum of the money. He explained everything to them. You'll notice here in verse 8, it says also he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given to Shushan at Shushan to destroy them, to show it to Esther and to declare it to her. Notice these words, and to what? Charge her that she should go in unto the king, and to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. I want you to notice the charge is given. The charge is given. You've got to go in. You've got to go in before the king, and you've got to plead the cause of the Jewish people. I really think that we have been charged, haven't we? We've been charged, clearly, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here comes the challenge. It's one thing to be charged, it's another thing to accept the challenge. Your preacher gets up here and he makes the challenge, or does the charge. And he's just praying, oh God, get a hold of your people so that we can accomplish those things that we need to accomplish. But you know what? The charge is only half of it. Right? His responsibility is to set the charge and the challenge. We must go every street, every lane, every hedge, every hill, every valley. In this entire area, we must go to it. The challenge is, are you going to go? Will you go? You don't have to leave your home. Go to another country. I just want you to go across the street. Amen. Reach this whole county. I wonder if everybody in this county knows this church even exists. I know you are the only Baptist church in town, right? You got an office. Amen. But there's a lot of people who don't even know this place exists. The challenge is, are you going to go? Will you go in unto the king? Charge and the challenge. Now let me tell you something. Mordecai was the one speaking to Esther. But if Mordecai represents the Holy Spirit, and Esther represents the believer, who's challenging us? Who's charging us?
The Spirit of God.
The Spirit of God is speaking. I like it when God speaks.
Amen.
I mean, I feel like I'm close to God when he speaks to me. Sometimes he's saying, straighten up, Knickerbocker. Amen, and I need that too. Amen. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to do what Jesus, tell me what Jesus wants me to know. You read it in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16. The ministry of the Holy Spirit of God is to guide us into all truth, and Christ is truth. And so the Lord Jesus will say, Holy Spirit, tell Knickerbocker to straighten up, would you? You ever have the Holy Spirit tell you to straighten up? You're neglecting some things. I've told you to do some things, you've not done them. There was a missions conference in a church years ago where a lady who had been in that church for some time, at the invitation, she unhooked the brakes on her wheelchair, and she wheeled herself to the front of the altar. She'd never done that ever. The pastor was shocked. He goes, wow, she's never been forward before. Saved, love the Lord, good lady in the church. He went down to her and he said, man, this is the first time you've ever come to the altar. Well, why did you come? She said, you know what, pastor? I've always used this wheelchair as an excuse not to visit the BPY house. And I have a the Holy Spirit told me that I've got to reach our community for Christ. So you've got to come up with an idea as to how I can reach our community for Christ. So she put it right out the preacher. Oh man, he went home, and I'm sure him and his wife talked. What should we do? They went to see her, and they said, do you know how to make phone calls? She said, of course. Yeah, I can make phone calls. He handed her the phone book is real thick, big metropolitan area, big phone book. He said, I believe God wants you to call every one of these people and invite them to church. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. So they sat down, they figured out what she was going to say. So many people came to that church because of her witness on the phone that the church staff couldn't keep up with all of the visitors. Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, I was preaching in a church in Lufkin, Texas, I told that story, and there was a lady sitting in the church, like you ladies are sitting in the church tonight. And the Holy Spirit said to her, you need to write a letter to everybody that lives in Lufkin, Texas, and tell them that you want them to be saved and invite them to church. That's what the Holy Spirit told her. Just like that. She left the church weeping, crying. I didn't know a thing about it. She never said anything to the pastor about it. For a year. A year. You said, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. I'm not. One day, God broke her heart. She came to the pastor and she told the pastor what God had told her to do a year ago. After the service, went back a year later. She came up to me and she said, Pastor, can I speak to you about something? I said, can I speak to you about something? She told me. She's crying. She said, the Lord told me to do that, and I fought with him almost a year about it. The pastor and I got together. The pastor and you are the only people that know about this. She said, I just finished the letter A in the phone book. And I write it out all by hand. And I tell them that Jesus loves them, they need to be saved. And they've been getting phone calls from people. One lady called up and she said, I think some lady in your church is stalking you. He said, no, she's not stalking you. She just wants you to be saved. Phone number of the church was there, not hers. Amen. Let the preacher take the amen. But you know what? She said, you know, Pastor Brother Knickerbocker, she said, if nobody ever comes because of my letters, I did what I was told, and God has honored and blessed my life ever since I started doing this. And she said, I love it. See, that's what happens when God works in her heart. You not only are charged, but then the challenge is given. Will you accept the challenge? Are you willing to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Don't you think God will speak to you if you say that to him? Mm-hmm. If you open yourself up and say, Lord, here I am, however you want to use me. I don't even know how you want to use me, but Lord, I want you to use me. God, by his Spirit, will begin to explain to you exactly what the challenge is. Amen. Number three. So we see the confusion and the concern. Then we see the charge and the challenge. Now notice the care of self or the cause of the Jews. We know that Esther is at a crossroads. She's got to make a decision. I want you to notice with me there in verse 12. They told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther and listen to how, hey, listen, this is the way the Holy Spirit works. You listen to what he says to Esther. Think not with thyself, see the word self there, that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Don't think that because you're living as a queen that your life is going to be spared and all of the Jews are going to be slaughtered except you. Just because you're in a good position, just because you've got it made, doesn't mean your life is going to be spared. How many believe that's true? Certainly. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from what? Another place. So then he says, You may try to dodge this, and you may think you're going to be safe as queen, and all of us are going to be killed. You think that's going to be the way it's going to be. But then he says to her, if you don't, God's going to use somebody else. You see, here's the thing.
Not everybody that is called of God to do something does it. Many don't. I've talked to people. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, God called me to preach. He said, I fought it, and he said, I've lived a miserable life. Because I know God called me, but I fought against it, and I didn't do it. And in fact, I'm not looking forward to standing before the Lord about that either. Oh, still in church, still getting to the work of the Lord. But he said, God called me, and I said, no. Esther could have said no. He just said to her, if you don't do it, God's going to raise up somebody else to do it. Now watch this. But thou and thy father's house shall be what? Destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Amen. You know, I'm not kidding. I really believe that this is the greatest days in all of the world to live for God. Because this is our hour. And I'm thrilled that God would let me have that responsibility, that honor, that God could put Dan Knickerbocker on the earth for such a time. You feel that way? Do you feel that you're privileged? That you're blessed? Amen. Do you feel as though God has really given you an opportunity to make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ? He's given you that opportunity. It's already in your possession. It's not something that needs to be handed off to you. You've already got it. You have got to work things out to where the Holy Spirit explains to you what He wants you to do to further His cause. And I want to tell you something. You will be so blessed when you do it. You will have wished you'd done it a long time ago. And if you have been doing it, but you're weary of doing it, you need to get right with God. I could go through my whole life complaining all the time. Discontented. How come God blesses everybody else, but He doesn't bless me? How come other people have done so well and I've done terrible? You know, I started a church, Pastor, at the same time another preacher started a church. He was in Connecticut, I was in New York. Started at the exact same time. He bought a beautiful piece of property, put up a gorgeous building, was running 300 on Sundays. I'm running 60. He got high days of 500, 600, 800. I think he even had a day of 1,000. You hear me? I got a little jealous of him. I said, man, you know, here I am over here and I can't even get out of this stinking little building. And he's over there in this big, beautiful building. Sharp, drives a beautiful car, goes to a tanning salon. This guy, you know, here I am over here, you know, fat and, you know, I mean, how come God blesses him and doesn't bless me? Now, you never thought preachers go through that. Right? But one day his wife told him, I'm done. You can either stay here with this church without me or you can come with me. I'm done. He had to leave. He built the pulpit. He built the church. He did it himself. He was a cabinet maker. Tremendous, tremendous. Fiery. Sold out guy. But he lost it all. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me after that happened? He said, who's kept you faithful all the while? It hasn't been you. See, I don't think I can keep myself faithful. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will what? Do it. My problem is self. I get in the way of what God's trying to do. And I can mess things up. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, not my pleasure. You know, I get great pleasure when I know He's pleased. That's what the spiritual life is all about.
It's not looking up, oh, I got it so bad. No, I got it so good.
Amen.
I'm in God's service. Oh, it may be difficult from time to time, and there'll be struggles, there'll be valleys. But God's in the valleys. Mm-hmm. Amen. We like mountaintops, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's there too. But it's those plateaus, it's those times when it seems like nothing's happening. God is testing us to see if we're going to remain faithful.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. Esther got the message. She got the message. She realized it's not about me. It's about the lost. It's about the Jews. Not about me. It's about them. That brings me to number four. The cooperation, the conviction, and the commitment. Three things. Cooperation, conviction, and commitment. It's found in verse 16. You'll notice that Esther bade them return an answer to Mordecai in verse 16. He said, go, and she said, go gather together all of the Jews that are present in Shushan. And fast ye for whom? Say it.
Me.
Me. I want you to fast for me. That sounds selfish, doesn't it? Well, she's the one going in to see the king who has never given, has not given her permission to come in. When in those days, if he didn't put out the scepter, if he just sat there on his throne and saw her come in and didn't put out the scepter, the servants would take her out and kill her. That was the law. So she said, I'd like everybody to fast and pray for me. Amen. Isn't it wonderful when a person says, if there's nothing more that you do for me, just pray for me. This missionary couple, their two children, they need your prayers more than any. Prayer, I believe, is what keeps us going. I believe it's prayer that gives us the stamina, gives us the strength to keep going. So he said, she said, pray. Notice now, and I don't want you to eat anything either. I want you to pray and fast for me. Neither eat or drink 3 days, night and day, night or day. And I also, and my maidens, we're going to fast also. You know, when you get to the place where you say, I'm not going to eat because I've got to get a hold of God, you're going to get a hold of God. No doubt about it. Because that's one of the prerequisites for God's blessing. That's in prayer. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. I'm going to go into the king. All right, let's notice this. The cooperation is everybody praying for her, right? Right? The conviction is, I'm going in. I'm going in. The commitment would be going in, and the conviction is if I turn to you. I want you to get that. Let's look at it again here. We're going to cooperate together. Pray for each other. Amen. We're going to pray for this commitment. We're going to pray about this. Amen. We're going to blow the doors off this one. Amen. Listen, you're going to have times through the year. You're going to have times through the year where God is going to bless you above measure. Remember this. You could do more than you even. That's when the blessings really fall. It's when we do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask. Amen? Wouldn't you love to see God use you?
Amen.
But there's got to be cooperation. Then we notice, not only cooperation, but then the conviction is, I'm going to go in there, and if he doesn't put the scepter out, and they take me out and kill me, then And that must be God's will. That's a conviction. See, you're willing to die for a conviction. When you have a conviction about something, you're going to do it even if your life is taken for doing it. There are people that die. You've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? The Huguenots were slaughtered to where the Seine River ran red. They literally slaughtered them. You say, why did God allow that? Have all the answers. But I know a God that does, and I believe he's going to explain everything to us one day. Amen. I think a lot of things we're going to pick up once we get perfect. But the rest of the hard questions we're going to say, Lord, why did you allow so-and-so to get killed, or why did you allow that missionary to go and die on the mission field for the cause of Jesus Christ? I want to tell you something. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And sometimes it's persecution. Sometimes it's blessing to where it's a revival of masses of people getting saved. I don't know if you ever heard the story about the Moravians. Ever hear the story about the Moravians? The Moravians, they were amazing people. Absolutely amazing. And these people, so many of those Moravians were called, I think something like 60% of the Moravians during the Moravian Revival ended up surrendering and going all over the world to reach people with the gospel of Christ. There was a move of God and a revival that broke out among those people. There was a slave island in the Caribbean, okay? And some of the young men, the Moravian young men, got burdened for those people out there. And they said, we need to go reach those slaves. So they went to the slave owner. When he came into town to get supplies from that island, they said, can we go with you and go to the island and preach the gospel to the slaves? He said, why, certainly you can. But you're going to have to give up your freedom. You're going to have to become one of the slaves. And you're never going to come back. You'll die there as a slave. They said, okay. Can you imagine those young men when they stood on that boat as it went out? Their families were standing there with tears running down their face, knowing that their kids would never come back. You know what their attitude was? The sufferings of our Lord Jesus. Amen. You see, I think we've gotten to the place where we've lost sight of it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the lost that need Jesus. And we must go. We must stand up. We must give. We must labor. We must pray. We must go with the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Oh, I pray. God do if we could take this passage and make it our own? We would reach every person that God wants saved in this area. Amen? Let's see God do it. Let's see God do some miracles. If everybody got a burden, if everybody said, I'm not going to sleep at night until I pray for people, and Lord, please, tomorrow when I go to work, I'm asking you to open up opportunities for me to be a witness. And if you open up a door for me to be a witness, I'm going to walk right through that door. I desperately. Amen? Haman got his day, didn't he? The old devil's going to end up with you. His work will one day be done. I'd like to put him out of service now. You see how you do that? I do what God says and not what you want to do. It's either self or it's God.